So in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 3. I have to find it now. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. Let me see. I'm pretty sure it's verse 22. No, it's going to have to be before that. No, it'll be verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. These are amazing verses. These three verses that close out 1 John chapter 3 are filled with application. They're filled with the inference of what is being written here. The amazing thing about the Bible is that though it can be so simple in some places, where the words are just one syllable words, I and you, and you and me, what does that mean in our relationship with God? How important is relationship? And we're going to see that this morning in just a little ways. We can't explore all the depths of that, but our relationship with God, our relationship with one with another as children of God, our relationship in our family, our neighborhood, which would include lost sinners, our workplace, which would include lost sinners, these are the keys in the Christian life. I got something in my beard? Oh, okay. Because you kept going like that. And I'm thinking, oh no, I thought I had a piece of chocolate donut in my beard. All right. I had a deacon in our church up in Oregon, and I told him, you know, sometimes we get going in church, and when we do, sometimes I forget that I have a collar up. I've been shaking hands and my collar moved up, or my tie has moved over to the side, and I don't want people to be looking at my collar being up in the air, my tie being over to the side, or whatever. And so if when I look at you in church, if you could just tell me about the collar or remind me about the tie this way to do that. And I shouldn't have told this particular deacon that, because although he was very soft-spoken and very gracious, very patient, and a gracious man, yet he loved to play with the preacher in the pulpit. And just at the times when I thought my collar was, you know, not the times I thought, but I'd look at him, he'd go like this to me. And there would be nothing wrong with my tie. But I would immediately go to move my tie or to move my collar. And when you do something like this in church sometimes, and then you keep doing it when I look at you, I'll think I got something in my beard. All right. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, once we read that, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So I say, oh, okay, what's his commandments? The Ten Commandments. I got to keep the Ten Commandments. I got to do these other commandments. Just in the law of Moses, there are over 699 commandments. I got to keep 699 there before I move out of the first five books of the Bible. What are the other commandments? And so forth. Well, the commandments are listed right after this verse. What are the commandments on which all the other commandments have relationship with? And that's verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit, the sweet Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You know, we were talking about translations earlier, and the advantage, the better translation of the New King James over the Old King James is that the Old King James will call the Holy Spirit it, I-T, and the New King James will always call the Holy Spirit him, with a capital H. And that's just one of the advantages of the New King James over the Old King James. People wanted to get with me in fights about things where I disagreed with them on the Old King James. First of all, I love the Old King James. The these and the thous I think are beautiful. But after, if you added up all the hours of study on scripture and translation, just on the translation of scriptures and different versions and the sources where those copies of the original writings of the New Covenant came from, and the Masoretic text of the Old Testament and so on, the Septuagint, if you added up all those hours, I've spent literally months and months just on this one issue. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, watching the Reformed Church, watching our brothers who believe in the doctrines of grace move away from the New King James Version to the English Standard Version, I think is sad. I'm not against the English Standard Version. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful translation of the Bible. But it is missing some verses. And so some of those verses are very important. Let me quote one of them. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Don't you think that's an important verse? What's missing in the other versions? How about this verse? And God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, God was revealed in the flesh. God was, shown through in the flesh. Where the other versions say, and he was manifested in the flesh. I think it's important that the word theos, or theos, be translated God. Because that's what it means. God was manifest in the flesh. And we could go on and on. There are several other verses. You get to the book of Acts and the verses on baptism that have to do with going into the water and coming out of the water are missing. The Presbyterians love that. And I guess so would the Roman Catholics, right? Because they believe in sprinkling. But the scripture teaches submersion. Submersion. How would you say submersion?
Immersion.
Yeah, there you go. And so that's important for us to see. And in these verses here, there's a whole lot more than I can unpack. And we have the Lord's Supper this morning, so I'm going to deal with the major issue at hand about answered prayer. And where we read, and whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There's something that's behind this. It's not a ritual of saying, I keep this command, I got to keep this command, I got to keep this list. Boom, 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 I'm keeping his commandments, so answer my prayers, God. No, he answers our prayers because we listen to him. We submit ourselves to him. That's what it means to keep his commandments, correct? So, when we're going to keep his commandments, it's talking about guard them in our hearts. Practice them in our lives in a way that has to do with our relationship with him. In other words, it's just a general way of saying, they walk with me. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we walk with him. His word is in our hearts. We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Notice how we're talking about we're walking with him as though he sees us. And pleasing in his sight, he's with us. We're walking in this relationship with him. You know, there's so many sweet things that have already happened this morning. We don't want to take for granted, you know, the little blessings that Brother Philip brought us and the big blessing that Cheryl brought us. I wanted the hymn books upstairs by now. I didn't want them mistreated. I want to trust God to watch over them and everything. And I understand that we're still talking about them. But, you know, there's an old story about F.W. Woolworths. And how many of you ever heard of F.W. Woolworths, the old Woolworths stores? They're these old stores that basically came right around the time of J.C. Penney first starting up. Five and ten cents in a Woolworths store could get you all kinds of stuff. And they were usually on the corners of major cities. And they usually had a lot of people in there because what you got was for 5 or 10 cents. And you could practically get anything. Now, in the Woolworth store back then, it's like the old cowboy movies. They had, you know, their spittoons and stuff. Well, in the old stores, you know, how many of you remember growing up and people being able to smoke in the store? Yeah, I remember that. And they had, in Rubidoux, they had a TGY store next to a Mayfair grocery store. And me and my little sister, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, we'd run around in the store, people smoking. The ladies, remember, had their curlers in their hair with the scarves over them and everything. And we'd go around picking up the cigarette butts in the store and putting them through the fingers of the mannequins that were, you know, different poses. And I'm sure the store managers would get upset with people doing stuff like that. Well, people in the old days, they used to chew tobacco and spit in the stores. Not only later, like when I was a boy, would they smoke in the stores, but before then, they would spit in the stores. Now, that's horrible. Do you know what somebody in... The thing is that they wouldn't spit right out in the open. They would go spit in the corner where nobody could see them. And so one person asked Billy Sunday back in those days, the old evangelist, asked Billy Sunday, will I chew tobacco? Can I go to heaven if I chew tobacco? And Billy Sunday said, yeah, you can go to heaven if you chew tobacco. You just have to go to hell to spit. I thought it was kind of funny. And so in the stores, like your department stores, if you got towards the corner, you'd notice where these fellas went over and spit their tobacco out in the corner. And it's interesting to me that the way Woolworths solved that problem was they went to the corners, cleaned them out, of course, but they painted them white. It was interesting that was the color that kept people from spitting in the corner. They didn't have trouble with it anymore. And so this emblem that we got, these white hymnals, I actually think it's going to have people take better care of them. You know, that, and to the Latino community, they like that color white at some of their festivities and stuff. It's one of the, they have all kinds of beautiful colors. But on some of the things that they'll paint white, or they'll dress their kids up in the white stuff, it's very special. They don't want to mess it up. They don't want to get it dirty. And neither do other people either, including me. If I see something white, I'm looking at my hands to make sure they're clean enough to touch it. Right? Aren't you? And so, what a wonderful blessing it is. And I can't wait to begin to use those songbooks in church. And I'm taking this one home with me because Cheryl said I could. And you want, no?
God said you
could
take it.
Oh, God said I could take it. Thank you, Jesus. So as we move on here, I want to get through the passage here on this part about answered prayer. Because if you'll notice it, and we won't be able to unpack the whole thing, if you want to have answered a prayer, in verse 24, it's about your relationship with God. The thing I want to point out is, and I've seen it all over TBN and the other religious broadcasting networks, is somebody will come out with a book on How to Receive Answers to Prayer, or How to Pray. And there was a book that was famous for a while. You might have seen it. It was called The Prayer of Jabez. And all these programs on it were about the prayer of Jabez, where they go back to the Old Testament in the Book of Chronicles, where Jabez prays for four things. He prays for, you know, bigger ministry. He prays for this and these four things. And you might be curious to know what those four things are, but I'm not going to share them with you. You know why? It's irrelevant to answered prayer. To have answers to prayer is not a formula. It's not a ritual. It's not, if I pray for this and I add in Jesus' name and I put, you know, nevertheless, not my will but yours be done, and I put these other things into it, I put the words, Our Father who art in heaven, He's going to answer my prayer. And that's just not true. God is gracious to us all. He might hear and answer your prayer, but it's not because you're so great. And it's not because you're so good. It's because He's so gracious and kind and loving that He loves to give. Name one thing that God is doing right now more than anything. He's giving. He's giving. The little animals in the forest, the little fish in the sea, the little birds in the air are being fed by Him. The stars are staying in their places by Him. He's giving to us. Our hearts are beating. He's giving us the next beat of our heart. Our lungs are breathing. He's giving us our next breath. God is constantly giving and maintaining and sustaining all these things. I've heard people say, well, you got to pray the hedge of thorn prayers. I remember, you know, people in my relatives on Connie's side of the family, pray the hedge of thorns prayer. Pray the hedge of thorns prayers where you're, you know, you go to the book of Hosea and you're praying for them to pray a hedge of thorns around this person that's around some bad friends or whatever. You know, it's not the hedge of thorns prayer. It's not the prayer of Jabez. It's not quoting what is the model prayer that some people call the Lord's Prayer. It's not, there's no magical words. There is no magical words. If you want answers to prayer, according to verse 22 and 23, you have to have a relationship with God. It's about your relationship. Even if you don't know how to pray, people have told me over the years, Pastor, don't call on me in public to pray. I don't know how to, I pray and I talk to God, but I don't know all those fancy words or whatever. It's not fancy words. It's not the accent of your voice. It's your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus, that brings answers to prayer. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, Psalm 66, right? If you regard iniquity in your heart, God says, I will not hear you. Look at verse 22 again. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, we're walking in His sight. We're practicing the presence of God. We're maintaining a relationship to Him through His Word. And you say His commandments. And then it tells you what those commandments are. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. It introduces a new relationship in the last part of that verse. Love one another. So, if you want to know the keys to answer to prayer, walk with God and walk in unity with one another. What's going to happen to your prayers if you have something between you and your brother, you and your sister in Christ? What did Jesus say? He said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother, your sister has somewhat against you, leave your gift at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brothers and sister, and then come and offer your gift. At the end of the Lord's Prayer, He talked about, you know, if you forgive us our trespasses, we trespass, forgive my trespasses as I forgive those who've trespassed against me. And then at the end of the prayer, After it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," it immediately says, "For if you do not forgive your other, or if you do not forgive others, or him who sins against you, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you." The beautiful illustration of the Lord's Supper before us this morning. What is it all about? Relationship. Again, our relationship with God. Jesus said, remember, are we supposed to take the Lord's Supper if we haven't been saved? If Jesus hasn't come into our heart, if there's no relationship? No. We're not supposed to take the Lord's Supper. And Jesus in that relationship says, do this in remembrance of me. I remember that I gave my body for you. Take, eat. This is a picture of my body being given for you. Take and drink. This is a picture of my blood being poured out for you. And this relationship we have with Christ is so intimate that he is in us. We are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. We're not just sheep and a shepherd. We're the branches and he's the vine. We're connected to him. We receive our sweetness from him. We receive our life from him like the branch does from the vine. It's relationship. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be given to you. It's a great verse for answer to prayer. So you shall ask what you desire and it shall be given to you. But the first part says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's relationship. If you want answers to prayer, you make sure your relationship with God is close and warm and loving and affectionate. It doesn't matter what words you use. Well, I'm going to pray the prayer of Jabez, or I'm going to pray the hedge of thorns, or I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. But your relationship with him is not warm, sweet, loving. You know what you should be praying about? Your relationship with him. How many of you would say, a lot of my prayers deal with my relationship with God? A lot of my prayers are, Lord, please forgive the coldness of my heart. Please forgive me for not reading my Bible as I should. Lord, please forgive me for not thanking you for as much as I should, for not loving you as much as I should. Lord, please forgive my sins. Please forgive me for being jealous or envious or angry with people. Please forgive me for being thinking about more about money than I do about souls. Lord, you're talking about a relationship. I mean, you would say, a lot of my prayers have to do with my relationship with God. Lord, I need you. Please give me your wisdom. Lord, I need you. Please give me your strength. Lord, I need you. Please give me the right words to say. Lord, I need you. I need your wisdom for this meeting. Lord, I need you to help me be self-controlled so I don't say something stupid. And how much your prayers or your relationship with others we come to in the next verse where it says there, and love one another as he gave us commandment. How much your prayers are, Lord, please bless my husband or please bless my wife. Help them to feel better today. Give them the strength to work. Lord, please open my child's heart so that they know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, please help me to know how to deal with this coworker. They're such a pain in the neck all the time. Lord, all they're trying to do is antagonize. They're so disagreeable. Lord, please help me to show your love to even them. How much your prayers are dealing with this important thing of relationship? By the way, before we take the Lord's Supper, if you're praying for somebody else's heart, know this, that is the most difficult thing to see God work at, because you don't know the heart. You can't see the heart. So you never know if that person who's giving you a fuss or is giving you a fight, you never know what's going on inside. Remember the phrase, how many of you have been fishing? There's not a fuss at the end of the line unless you caught something. In other words, the people that'll fuss at you are often the ones that God is dealing with inside. And their fussing is just like a little alarm going off saying, there's something wrong inside. And that can only be fixed by Jesus. Well, we're going to have to close there so that we have time for the Lord's Supper. But I want you to see that here. And as it closes in verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments, that is, believing on Christ and continually believing on Christ and depending on him and loving one another. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And the credible verse that all this is accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not by our might nor by our power, but by his Spirit. And isn't that the key then? Holy Spirit in our relationship with God. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Romans chapter 8. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. So how about our prayer being, sweet Holy Spirit, teach me to pray. Sweet Holy Spirit, before I read my Bible, teach me your word. Holy Spirit, teach me how Jesus would act if he were in my shoes today. Lord, sweet Holy Spirit, give me more love for my family. Lord, help me to show your grace to my family. You know, that would be a good prayer. You know what a shame is that a lot of times we treat complete strangers with more politeness, more kindness, more courteousness than we do our own family. You know, it's like our own family, it's like there's fussing going on. We don't walk into Trader Joe's and just start fussing with people. What are you wearing that stupid hat again for? We don't do that. We often treat strangers with more kindness and respect than we do our own family. And that's a relationship you should be praying about as well. Father, we pray you bless the Lord's Supper to us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that it's all about relationship. And Lord, if we want to see answers to prayer, then to walk in your light, in your presence, knowing you're watching us, keeping everything okay between us and then with one another. And we know about the Lord's Supper that it has to do with one another, very much so, in 1 Corinthians 11. And it's not only communion, it's communion with you and with one another. Thinking of the same things, being of one heart, of one mind. Lord, we pray that you would also bless in our relationship with sinners. Give us wisdom about not wasting time with certain people and then praying and looking for the opportunities with others. We don't know who is going to be saved, so let us be ready to share the gospel every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.